Now, our study today takes us into the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Here we're going to deal with the great temptation which will set forth the purity of the King. Now, in this chapter, we move forward another step in the area of preparation for the kingdom. In this section today, Christ is being tested personally, and by his test, he proves that he is competent to rule. Let us read then the first 11 verses of chapter 4 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, as we turn again to Thee, we are so conscious of the solemnity of the passage we've been reading. We pray Thou shalt help each of us to understand the lesson, and that by studying Thy Word we shall be strengthened. Look down in mercy upon all Thy children now, and bless them for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, taking in the context of the passage we have read, joining it in with what we have studied in prior studies, you will notice that there are many links in the chain here. Here is the Son of God, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We saw him coming out of obscurity, coming down to the banks of the River Jordan, where John was preaching and where John was baptizing. And there he is baptized. We find him then in association with John the great prophet, and in association with the people who had repented and professed that they were ready for their coming Messiah. So we see him as a real man stepping out beside men. Then we followed through from that, and we saw him in association with the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And then there was the identification by the Father speaking from heaven and saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So here we see the Lord Jesus Christ, as I have indicated, in association with the prophet and with the people. Then in association with his Father in heaven and with the Holy Spirit. And I pointed out there we have the Trinity, God the Son, God the Spirit, and God the Father. Now, immediately following that, after the Spirit came upon him, he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So we find him now coming into this contest with another creature called the devil. The devil is the destroyer. He is the accuser. Later on in this same passage is called Satan, which is the adversary. Now, some folks today don't like to think that the devil is a personality. In fact, some folks say the devil's dead. Some folks say he's gone. But honest folks would like to know who carries his business on. Remember, if you read through the Bible and you believe the Bible, you'll find a way back in the book of Genesis that this great adversary, the enemy of souls, came into the Garden of Eden and opposed mankind there. And his opposition to mankind was also in opposition to God. It was there we learned that there would be a great conflict, that the coming Redeemer would be in conflict with Satan. The one would have his head bruised, but the other would have his heel bruised. But in the end, there would be the conqueror, that the seed of the woman would conquer the seed of the serpent. The serpent would be bruised. Now, here then we notice that whenever the Father has approved of the Son at the end of chapter 3, and the Spirit has come upon him, then the devil gets busy. You know, it's a strange thing. It was only when the wise men came and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." It was then the devil got busy, you remember, and used Herod. And Herod was going to destroy the child, but he failed. Now here again at the end of chapter 3, God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He identified him as being his Son. Also the Holy Spirit came upon him. It was then the devil got busy. And the devil is going to let loose against this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Son of the living God. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that verse doesn't seem to fit in very well with some preconceived ideas of certain people at the present time. If they talk in terms of the work of the Spirit and what the Spirit does, they have no idea where the Spirit will lead. But here is one of the expressions in the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Now you see, if he is going to rule, he must prove that he is competent to rule. When Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, then Adam failed. He failed under the temptation of the evil one. And before one would be competent to take over the kingdom and rule, he must prove that he is able to defeat the great archenemy of souls. And the Lord takes on the battle here. He's willing to face the enemy. Here in the temptation, he's going to win, but later on when he goes to Calvary, that will be the final blow, when he shall wrest the power from the enemy and take the scepter of power for himself, and by rising from the dead, he'll prove that he is competent to rule the kingdom of God and has power to rule over mankind. So he is led up into the wilderness to be tempted, be tested and tried, but he'll come out victorious. Now you'll notice when the devil came to him, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, at that time we see that he was a perfect man. He was hungry. Now let me say this, It is no sin to be hungry, because Christ was hungry and yet never sinned. It is no sin to be tempted, because Christ was tempted. But it is sin if we yield to the temptation. Now get that clear. It is not a sin to be hungry. Christ was hungry. It's not a sin to be tempted. Christ was tempted. But it is a sin when we yield to the temptation. Now, in this first temptation, the devil seeks to cast doubt upon the Word of God and to discredit the deity of Jesus Christ. At the end of chapter 3, God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." And he shows his approval of him by saying, "In whom I am well pleased." Now, when God makes a statement of fact, it's up to us to believe what God says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I don't accept the Word of God, then I am an unbeliever. Now watch. When the devil went into the Garden of Eden, the first thing he did was this. He cast doubt on what God had said. Casting doubt on the Word of God is the work of the devil. And any person today who dares to cast doubt upon the authority of the Word of God is doing the devil's work. And we have a lot of people busy doing that today. Let us be careful, lest we are assisting the devil in his work. The God has said from high heaven, "This is my beloved Son." Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was what you might call at the very low ebb, having fasted as a man for 40 days and 40 nights, it was then that the tempter came to him, and watch what he said, If thou be the Son of God. In plain words, he was casting doubt upon the statement of fact made by God the Father. God said, "This is my beloved Son." The devil says, "If thou be the Son of God." Here he was seeking to cast doubt upon the Word of God and to discredit the deity of Jesus Christ. My friend, any person or any religious group that denies the deity of Jesus Christ, if they deny that he is the Son of God and that he is God the Son, they are casting doubt upon the Word of God and denying the Word of God. God has said, "This is my beloved Son." The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is one of the great fundamental truths of the Christian faith, the deity of Jesus Christ. The devil cast doubt upon it. He tried to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cast doubt upon the Word of God the Father. If you don't believe the Bible today, and you do not accept that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, my friend, you are a non-believer. And remember, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, for the wrath of God abideth on him. This is an important thing. And the temptation that comes to him is a temptation to the physical thing. "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, may I ask you, in all fairness, if you had been hungry for 40 days, and you could perform that miracle, how would you have felt about it? Oh, what a temptation that the devil cast before him. "Prove to me that you are the Son of God. Turn those stones into bread satisfy your hunger. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ never performed a miracle to satisfy his own whims and fancies. He never satisfied his own ego. He never performed a miracle to exalt himself like that. All the miracles he performed were for the glory of God the Father. But he was able on this occasion to get, as it were, the victory over this temptation. Notice how he answered the enemy. He said, "It is written." Notice he goes back to the written word. If the devil was not prepared to accept the spoken word of God when God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," then the Lord Jesus Christ refers him back to the written word in the Old Testament. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So here he joins together the written word and the spoken word. And you and I should learn this vital lesson today. We cannot afford to cast any doubt upon the spoken word of God, nor yet can we cast doubt upon the written word. The written word is there for our instruction. And the Lord answered the devil, the great tempter, by quoting from the scriptures, from the book of Deuteronomy, by the way, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And so in the first temptation, which was an appeal to the physical thing, the devil was defeated, and the Lord Jesus Christ won that victory. But the devil didn't give in. He came with a second temptation. And in this second temptation, the appeal is not to the physical, but to the emotional. In this second temptation, the devil perverts the word of God and aims his attack at the emotional or sensational. Now, this is a real temptation to make a false application based upon a wrong interpretation of the word of God. Now, that's a thing that becomes a temptation perhaps to all of us, to take a verse out of the Bible, to give it a wrong interpretation, and then to give it a false application. You see, the devil taketh him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. He said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God," see, he's still casting doubt yet on that word. "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Plain words. The Lord Jesus Christ has quoted to him from the Old Testament. The devil seems to know the Bible too, you know, and can quote and can misquote from the scriptures. Now, don't always be taken in when someone comes to your door or speaks to you in the street or at your work, or a friend says, "You know, the Bible says such and such a thing." They may be giving it a wrong application. They may be giving it a wrong interpretation. Notice what the devil did. He took a scripture and he quoted the scripture. And he said, "Now, if you want to prove that you're the Son of God, why don't you just cast yourself down from this pinnacle of the temple? Do something sensational." After all, doesn't the scripture say that the Messiah will come suddenly to his temple? Well, why don't you come suddenly? Cast yourself down. Do something spectacular. Do something sensational, and people will believe you. But you see, this was a temptation. A temptation to the emotional. Make yourself somebody. Do something that will prove that you're exceptional. And the Lord faced up to this temptation, and very quietly he said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Oh, what a simple, straightforward answer. The Lord didn't give a wrong interpretation to the word, nor yet a false application. He just simply quoted the scripture. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, it would not have been accidental if he had cast himself down. The point is this, if he was casting himself down, that was presumption, not faith. Faith will believe in God, but don't let us presume. So the Lord says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then there is the third temptation. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of these worldly kingdoms. And as he showed him these things, he said, now, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, this third temptation was an appeal to the spiritual thing. Now, here you have the emotional and the physical and the spiritual. See, man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. And the devil knew how to appeal to each part of man. So in this third temptation, the devil openly opposes the truth of God and places himself in the position of God, in that he seeks for worship. Therefore, this is a temptation directed in the sphere of the spiritual. He professes to be able to provide an easy way for Christ to obtain the kingdom, but that would be in defiance of the will of God. Satan tempted Christ to express his power selfishly, and then sensationally, and then to obtain a position with subtlety. This temptation was no play acting on the part of Jesus Christ, but was a real experience in which he was tempted and tested in all points, and proved himself to be perfect and competent and capable of defeating the enemy. Now remember, the enemy had to be defeated before that Christ would be able to reign in power. Here then we have the purity of the king demonstrated, in that he came through the temptation, shall we say, with flying colors, and defeated the enemy. Now let us apply this to ourselves today. He defeated the enemy each time by a quotation from the Word of God. Each time he answered them, he said, "It is written." When he was tempted with the physical thing, he said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone." But he put the higher thing there, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The second time he said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." In the third time he said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now the devil likes to be worshipped, and there are people today who worship the devil. Some worship angels, some worship men, but remember, the Bible says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So the way to gain the victory in temptation is by standing four square on the Holy Scriptures, the written Word of God, which is authentic. So let us lay hold upon God and upon the Word of God. And when the devil comes, resist him, not in your own strength, but resist them with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.